Welcome to the Benefits Beat, the podcast that helps you navigate the complex world of benefits. Together, we're going to dive deep into the industry, breaking down the barriers and exploring different topics surrounding benefits. We will be bringing in subject matter experts who will share their knowledge, offering tips and tricks to help you understand and, more importantly, benefit from your benefits. Whether it's health insurance, dental, vision, disability, or other total rewards that you are offered, we've got you covered. Our aim is to empower you with the knowledge and understanding you need to make more informed decisions. So join your hosts, Caroline and Zach, every 2 weeks as we explain the nuances, all in an effort to make it easier for you to navigate the world of benefits. Hi, I'm Zach Ward, and I am one of your hosts. I have pretty exciting news today for Hub's Employee Benefits Podcast, The Benefits Beat. Have a new co-host starting. So if you guys have listened, obviously we had Maggie in the past, but unfortunately she's no longer with Hub, and wanted to introduce our new podcast co-host, Caroline Clift.
Hi, everyone. My name is Caroline, and I'm looking forward to co-hosting with Zach. I've been with Hub for about 6 years now and looking forward to helping educate everyone on some of our benefit topics and diving in today on my first episode.
Thanks, Caroline. So if you guys know, now that we've got that out of the way and you've been listening, we've had a couple of Medicare podcasts here the last couple weeks. It's going to be a three-part series. Today will be the final kicker, if you will, with Heather Ballou. Heather, appreciate you joining us. I know you are one of our three or four experts here in Medicare. Would you mind giving a little bit about how long you've been doing it, your expertise, and kind of background?
Sure. Thanks for having me. My name is Heather Ballou. I've been with Hub for 9 years. I am a Medicare and individual health insurance specialist. So my official title, I think, is health benefit consultant. So I am here to help, and so is the rest of our team, on different concerns or questions around Medicare and health insurance.
Perfect. Well, I know we've talked to Nate, we've talked to Miranda about kind of some of the more basic terms. Today seems like a little bit more of the nuances around Medicare and some of the questions that might be one-off questions, but we wanted to make sure that we got them answered. Again, we've kind of gone through the basics. Once you're enrolled in Medicare, what are the most important things regarding the beneficiaries of Medicare, and what things should our listeners be considering?
Yeah, so I do want to address that. I do know you talked to Nate and Miranda, so I appreciate you saving the best for last here. Some things about Medicare that people follow up once they're enrolled, some nuances after they enroll. So the biggest thing is, how am I paying all these Medicare premiums? So there's the government portion to Medicare, and there's private insurance carriers. So it depends on what they are doing with Social Security around Medicare Part B. If they're drawing Social Security, that's automatically coming out of their check monthly. If not, they're receiving a quarterly bill, and they are responsible to pay that by check or go online and register with the government to pay that. Regarding the private insurance carriers, that can be billed with most carriers. It can be out of a checking account, or it can be set up on auto pay. So that's one of the biggest things, how they're going to pay that. Another thing is how claims are handled. So they need to ensure that, you know, the government, if they have a Medicare supplement, the government will pay first under Medicare A and B, and then their supplements billed. So they have to wait for two explanation of benefits in that scenario. Mm-hmm. So that's a big nuance for them. And then just another thing is a network. You know, if they have a Medicare Advantage plan, it's a managed health care plan, they need to make sure that they stay in network for their provider to have, you know, the benefits be more of an advantage to them.
All right. Well, thank you for that intro about how to understand different nuances with the beneficiaries. Now, how often do Medicare plans and coverage options change, and how should beneficiaries stay informed about those?
So the two parts of Medicare, again, the government part, the A and B, is going to stay the same. That doesn't change, you know, year over year. If there's any changes, they'll release that, but it's very minimal on the changes. The big changes are for Medicare Part D and a Medicare Advantage plan, and that will change every year. They will get a notice of change in September, and they should look for that. And then to stay informed, of course, they should always, you know, listen to podcasts. We will release stuff on our website. They can always reach out to us as well.
Remind me, Heather, so I know we talked about it with Nate and Miranda, but what does Medicare Part D encapsulate?
D means drug, so drug coverage. Typically, it is a standalone drug plan called Medicare Part D, or a Medicare Advantage plan will have the Part D built into it, which just basically means the formulary will be built into that.
And a question that we get a lot, especially myself as a benefit consultant working with clients in the under 100 space, if an employee has a health savings account, are they allowed to continue using that or funding it if they join Medicare?
Yes, that is a fun question. We get that one a lot as well. So yes, if they have a health savings account and they are having funds in there, they can use those funds, even if they go to Medicare, so they can pay some premiums with it. Medicare Part D can be paid with it, Medicare Part B. So the funds are theirs to keep. What they cannot do is they cannot contribute tax-free contributions to it. The IRS has a ruling that says if you enroll in any insurance, that you are no longer eligible for tax-free contributions. Even enrolling in Medicare Part A is considered other insurance, so they have to stop the contributions when they decide to come into Medicare. If they're turning 65, it will be that month. If they are retiring and coming off the insurance, it will be 6 months prior.
Maybe just a little background on HSAs in general. They're typically used as a retirement account. I think that's what people see them a lot as, because they offer the triple tax savings. But if you're Medicare, you can use it as a retirement account, or you can use it to pay the qualified medical expenses through Medicare that, again, it's not taxable. You're getting it tax-free. But changes a little bit in terms of how you utilize it, retirement or the Medicare piece.
Yes, that's correct. A lot of people like to use it to save, to prepare for those bad times. Some people also like to save it for Medicare because they'll have out-of-pocket expenses. So they can use it for there as long as it's their money to use, as long as it's qualified expense.
Perfect. Are there any common, Heather, pitfalls or mistakes that Medicare beneficiaries should avoid?
I'd say HSA contributions are the one pitfall. Some people just don't know that they can't contribute to that. Another big one, and I know we work on this a lot, is the size of the employer. Mm-hmm. So if one is turning 65 and they have what's considered a small employer, which is 20 employees or less, so essentially up 1 to 19, they are required to enroll into Medicare. They have to enroll into the government portion, the original Medicare A and B. They can use their employer as their secondary or look at the alternative plans such as the Medicare Advantage and Medicare Supplement that have been spoke about in the past. Another big pitfall is when one is retiring and they have the COBRA option, they will like to just enroll in COBRA and not mess with Medicare. Unfortunately, they are required to because they are no longer an active employee. If they are over 65, they are required to enroll into A and B as well. So those are the two biggest ones because it can end up causing some penalties for them. So those are the larger ones that I see.
I think along that same line, it's I've seen it before where people don't even know they have a way to coordinate benefits, right? Because ultimately, if you have two different coverages, it's reducing your out-of-pocket spend. And I think a lot of times people either forget or just don't understand how to actually use both of them, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So just take advantage. If you have both of them, make sure that you're submitting it to both insurance carriers and getting the least amount out of pocket that you can.
That is right. And how the coordination of benefits will work in that situation depends on who pays first and second. That mm-hmm. will be by employer size or what they have as an active or non-active. But they definitely get the most for their money if they enroll in both.
And just a little, you know, refreshment on what coordination of benefits is basically, hey, I'm going to go and either it's Medicare or my employer plan that's paying first. Mm-hmm. Anything that's not covered, I would submit to my secondary insurance coverage to hopefully cover, you know, some more additional out-of-pocket spend. So reducing mine personally for whatever procedure I have.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Awesome. So how can beneficiaries address disputes or issues with their Medicare coverage, like if they have a claim issue or questions, concerns, things of that nature?
Well, it depends on what the dispute is. If it's, you know, something over the government part, they would have to go through the government for that. The government has a pretty outline coverage on their website, medicare.gov, that says, is my test, procedure, or claim covered? So they can always start there and make sure it was a covered item. If it was denied, they can file appeals with it. I will say that I don't see a lot of claim issues on the other side with the private insurance carriers. Essentially, if it's a Medicare-approved claim, the government's going to pay for it. A Medicare supplement will pick it up, you know, under the terms of whatever supplement that is. Under Medicare Advantage, that's only going through the private insurance carrier. I still don't see a lot of claim issues there, but they can certainly happen. They would reach out to you know, me to help give them direction, and then as well as to the carrier to actually see the claim, because we don't get to see the actual claims for them.
What causes the most problems in terms of like billing, claims, et cetera? Is it just, my mind goes to, there's so many different parts of Medicare, right? And each of them covers their own little section of health insurance. Is it just not knowing what you're enrolled in and what you're not? Is it not understanding how they're covered from a government perspective? Like, what causes that so hopefully we can avoid it?
Yeah, I would say it's not knowing what you have, really, because when you have a Medicare Advantage plan, even though you're required to have the government portion, the Medicare A and B, no claims are actually going to go through the government. They're going to go all through the managed health care plan, which is the Medicare Advantage plan. So some people will still give their Medicare card at the, you know, at the claim to the doctor or hospital, and that can cause confusion. And another thing is when you have, you know, a Medicare A and B and you have a supplement, the government's going to pay first. That supplement picks up. There really aren't a lot of claim issues with that, except when it comes around to prescriptions, because they now have a third card that they have to take. So they just get a little bit confused on where to go.
Then you throw in a coordination of benefits where you have a fourth card to bring maybe, and gets really challenging. But what resources are available to make these informed decisions? So I'm thinking around things like what's covered, what's not. Where should they be going for resources? Obviously, you and your team are help on the front end, but after you're enrolled in Medicare, what's the biggest thing they should use?
The biggest resource to see if something's covered under Original Medicare, which is the government portion, is that website, medicare.gov. It really does have a tool that you can just type in and see if it's covered. So that's probably the biggest one, of course. And then if you have a secondary plan, you know, your summary of benefits will have that in there for you, whether it's covered. But always start with us as a resource of, hey, just which direction do I go to find that answer out? But we're here to help for that.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is when you first enroll, making sure that you're enrolling in what you actually need, right? Not just going in blindly and saying, hey, I'm going to pick A, B, D, et cetera. Or even on the Medicare supplement plans, on or Medicare Advantage plans, I should say, on what, how rich do I need my coverage, right? I think Nathan said there's A all the way down to Z for, you know, Richmond. Cheaper, obviously, is going to be less benefits covered, but just coming to your team and saying, hey, these are the drugs I'm taking. These are what I expect in terms of health insurance. Which one fits me best? I think that's the best place to start.
Yeah, that consultation is really important, not only for their coverage now, but for their coverage later. There are rules to switching later. Everyone has this misconception that they can just switch plans every year, and that is not necessarily true. When you're first coming on a Medicare, you're guaranteed to be whatever policy you want. You get issued that. That rule is not the same later on, so that consultation at the beginning is very important with us to kind of give you, you know, the rules and regulations around what you're allowed to do later.
Awesome. And looking to the future, are there any anticipated changes to Medicare that beneficiaries should be aware of?
Yes, that's a big one. So there are some changes that are coming up. The biggest one that you'll hear about it anytime you're hearing something to do with politics or the election right now, that they're all talking about it. It is the Inflation Reduction Act. So that is coming into place here in 2025. It's a good thing in some regards. Some people are excited about it. The biggest is they are putting a maximum out of pocket on prescription drugs. So there really hasn't been one over the years. This year we do have one that's $8,000. Next year it is going to $2,000 max out of pocket for everyone. So that is a big, you know, thing going into place. I will say that that could impact some premiums along the way. We don't really know what that will look like until the new plans are released for October 1st. But it will also impact Medicare eligibles who are not enrolled. So someone 65 still on an employer plan, it will impact the employer plans because they have to provide what's called credible drug coverage. And now that criteria to the government is changing with this $2,000 max out of pocket. So if you were already on a Medicare plan, or I'm sorry, already on an employer plan, and you have not enrolled in Medicare and you were eligible, we probably want to revisit this just to make sure that you're on a plan to prevent that Part D late enrollment penalty later.
And the credible piece, is that $2,000 out of pocket, does that make it harder for employers to offer a credible plan?
Yes, I would think it would. Mm-hmm.
So, Heather, I appreciate all of your insights and answering all of our questions today, and hopefully our listeners will also find some additional value. I'm sure they will, and I'm excited to join everybody next time and continue our benefits education on the Benefits Beat.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So you can go to our website, again, reach out, have a one-on-one consultation. no cost to you, just trying to get a picture of what Medicare would look like for you. Is it the right choice, et cetera? So I want to encourage all of our listeners, if you have questions about Medicare, our team is fantastic. They work with 48 out of the 50 states, I think, and they are very, very good at what they do. So, Heather, we appreciate all your team's time. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Nothing we say in this podcast is representative of any specific plan and should not be considered as legal, regulatory, or accounting advice. If there are any discrepancies between what we say and your plan document will prevail. If you have any questions about your benefits, please reach out to your HR representative. Thanks for tuning in today. Our suggestion box is always open, so if you have a question you'd like us to answer or a topic you would like us to cover, send us a message on Instagram at TheBenefitsBeat. And remember to subscribe on your favorite listening app so you never miss an episode, and be sure to follow us on social media for more benefits, tips, and tricks.